Well, Nick, he was a tall guy. I mean, we're talking at least 7'1", and that's huge. I mean, that's high for a person his age. He was only 12 years old. But he had an idea that wasn't going to quit, and he wasn't going to let anybody stop him either. He wanted to fly that airplane at least 350 miles an hour. That's probably faster than any other airplane that I know of anyway. But 350 miles an hour? Now, how do you stop a plane like that? Now, you know that the intersection lights are red, green, and yellow, but he had and wanted to use the color blue. Now, he said, if you use the color blue, what happens is it rubs against the whole page. And that's the whole idea. If you can rub the blue against the whole page, you don't know if you've got sky, if you've got water, rocks, whatever the blue is, it has to be that color or you can't use it. Three kids in class said that they wanted to use it, and they started to use green instead. Well, the teacher jumped right in and said, you can't do that. Well, of course, they started crying and whimpering and whining and all that stuff. And Jimmy, who was just walking into the room, he was having a real hard time walking because he was using some sticks that he found outside as crutches. Now, he doesn't really have crutches or use them, but he was trying to walk with them, and he was having a real hard time. He was poking himself right under the armpits. And as he's walking, he's going, yow, ow, 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 you know, all that kind of stuff. So his teacher immediately pulled him off to the side and said, listen, you're going to have to stop doing that because the Lego set is sitting out here. And if you're going to be walking around like that, tripping over the Lego stuff, you're going to destroy everything that the kid spent hours working on. Now, you see that little truck down there and that airplane they built and that little tower and that little fort? Well, that's all going to disappear. You don't want that to happen, do you? Well, of course, he said no and sat down on the chair. And then the rumbling started. The whole room started to rock back and forth. And the kids, of course, screaming, wild, running just in every which way direction. And the teacher couldn't even keep them under control. But then the bus stopped right in front of the school. And when the bus stopped, everybody hightailed right out of that front door, right into the bus. Everybody packed in. We're talking about six classes. Got into the bus. And Susie had her red dress on, and Mary had her blue dress on, and Tommy had his brand new green coat on. And they jumped onto the bus like that, and the windows were puffing out. They had to open the window so they could get their heads out and arms out. And the driver, he's just a small little guy. I mean, he was smaller than a kid. And he would have to use sticks to use on the gas pedal, and he'd even have to use a stick for the brake. And he'd have a red stick for the brake and a green stick for the gas pedal. Now, he was just barely high enough to see between the steering wheel. He couldn't even see over the steering wheel. But he reached way back, and he turned the ignition, which is the key, and he started it up. And then, without any warning whatsoever, three cars pulled right in front of him. One had big white wall tires. The other one was like some kind of a lowrider with real thin, skinny tires and chrome rims. And the last car was just a typical old car, looked like a 1993 Ford Taurus. But it was a group of people that chummed together all the time, and they would always go to the circus. And whenever they came back from the circus, they would have so much fun talking about the circus that they actually started to write a book about it. And Terry, the guy who was driving the green car, he started out his book with, "You wouldn't believe what I did on Thursday afternoon." And Tommy always disagreed with him. He said, "You never start out a story like that. You got to get somebody's attention," he says. "You got to get somebody's attention." And, of course, that's when Susie walked by. And everybody's eyes went to Susie. Now, she grabbed their attention as she started walking past. And as she walked down the hall, all the lockers, for some unknown reason, began to open up one at a time as she walked by. And then they closed when she got about maybe 5 feet past. They would close. So as she walked by, they were opening up. And then when she passed by completely, they would close up. And they looked at each other and couldn't believe that this was actually happening. And then a roller skate, all by itself, came out of room 212, right across the hall, into room 217. Now, how did that happen? because we looked inside room 212. It was empty. Nobody was in there. Not even the teacher. No kids, not even behind the door. How could that possibly happen? And then blink, blink, dice fell from the ceiling. Two dice fell on the ground. And if we looked down, you wouldn't believe it. It was 4 on 1 and 3 on the other. Lucky 7. How did that happen? How could that possibly happen? And without warning, a kid just walked out of nowhere, wearing his blue pants. He was painting a picture while he was walking. Now, how many people go around painting pictures while they're walking? Well, he did. And he was painting a picture of a beautiful summer evening, little bitty dots for stars, and they had the little moon out there. But it wasn't quite completely dark yet, because he had a little bit of the sunshine on the other side of the picture. And it was such a really calm-looking night. And then Jerry came by, and he had some popcorn in his hand, and he threw it right on the picture. And the popcorn stuck to the picture, and he was really upset. "What did you do that for? You just ruined my picture," he said. And sure enough, he had to wipe it all off. But when he wiped it, the picture smeared. And when it smeared, all the old popcorn fell on the ground, and the little mouse down there just grabbed it and hauled it off into his little room. And more stuff started falling, more popcorn. He wiped every inch of popcorn off of his picture, and the little mouse gathered it. And he brought it to his little room, and he piled it up in the corner. And when he piled it up in the corner, his dad came in, his mouse dad. And, of course, like any father would do, he said, "What do you got there? What are you doing with all that popcorn?" "Paint all over it," he said. "What are you doing that for?" And the little mouse looked up at him and said, "I'm trying to build furniture. I love building furniture. That's one of the most things that makes me happier than ever. I want to build furniture for the rest of my life. I love building furniture." And then, as he turned to the left, there was a mirror sitting there, and he saw himself. And then, when he looked down, he saw a recording light flashing on and off. And then he looked back in the mirror, he looked back at the recording light, and realized then and there that he was being recorded. And his dad had a big smile on his face. And he walked over to the recorder and he put it on play. Sure enough, he played back his whole conversation since they walked in. And he listened to everything. And he slapped his hand against his forehead, the little kid did. And he said, "You recorded everything that I did. Every single thing. Every single thing that I did." He walked outside and stood out on the bridge. Out in the middle of the bridge all by himself. And he leaned against the railing. And he looked out over the water. And it was actually kind of dark. But when he looked out over the water, he saw the waves going this way and that way. And they kind of made pictures in the water. And he could see things, anything he wanted to see, he could actually see in the water. He could see his sister in the water. All he had to do was turn his head a certain way or see a certain wave. And he could see his sister. And then he would turn this way, and he could see a rock. And this particular rock looked like the coin of a 1957 nickel. It looked just exactly like a nickel. And as he looked up into the trees, he could see it looked like a, what the heck was that? It was some kind of a strange-looking movie camera. But it positioned itself right in the trees. Everything was starting to appear out of the blue. He could see faces over there in the bushes. He could see, if he turned to the left real quick, he looked up over there, and he could see like an animal. He wasn't quite sure what it was, but he could see all these things in the bushes. And every time he turned around, he saw something new. And that's when Sherry came walking by with a wagon. And as he walked towards Sherry, Sherry stopped. And then she looked down at her wagon and said, "Look, It's empty. Could you fill it up, please? And he said, with what? Just fill it up, she said. And she took one step to the left and stopped. What do you want me to fill it up with? And then he looked down. There it was. Chunks of coal. Black, hard rock coal. She says, I need some coal to take home to my furnace to keep warm. It gets so cold at night. Can you put some coal in my little red wagon so I can carry it home and keep us warm all night long? So I can put it in the furnace to keep us warm? So sure enough, he did. He started to reach down and put the coal, one by one, into her red wagon. And as soon as he reached in for the third time, something grabbed his fingers. Ooh, he pulled his hand back. What was that? And then he reached in again real slow this time. And as soon as he was getting even close, a great big hand came out and grabbed his hand and pulled it into the ground. And it held it there. And he couldn't get it out. It didn't pull him in, but he couldn't get it out either. And he was trying everything he could. And he started kicking his feet and yelling. And then Sherry just ran off. With her red wagon, and ran off home, I guess, left him sitting there yelling and hollering, I got to get out of here, he said, I got to leave me alone, leave me alone. And it wouldn't let go. It just hung on to him, would not let go. What was going on? What was happening? And all of a sudden, the ground where he was standing, or actually laying down because his hand was stuck, but where he was, started to kind of turn. And as it was turning around and round, he was actually starting to spin like he was on some kind of a disc of some sort. And he was going around. He could see the leaves dashing away and all the branches were starting to fly back away from him. And as he started to spin more and more, it became more and more flat. It was almost like it was a disc. It was like almost like a flying saucer he was on. He was like on top of a flying saucer and his hand was stuck in the middle of it. It was some kind of a trapdoor. Something was holding him in there as this started to spin around faster and faster. And as he started to spin so fast, he was actually being pushed out to the end, like as if he was a little marble on a wheel that would float out to the end. It was spinning around. And he was going faster, round and round and round and round and round. Pretty soon, he couldn't take it anymore. He said, stop! Stop! And all of a sudden, just like brakes on a train, you could hear it, and it came to a complete stop. And little holes all over popped up suckers. Left one, right one, middle one, all over the place. Little doors opened up and popped up a sucker. There was strawberry, lemon, cherry, butterscotch. You name it, it was there. And he stood up. He had a hard time walking. Because he couldn't decide what to do, which way to go. He was totally confused because he was tripping over the suckers that were sticking up out of this disc. And he would take one step and hear crunch. Oh, no, he thought he's breaking suckers. He'd take another step, crunch. One right after the other like that. And the curtains started to blow. The curtains were blowing wind into the room. And the curtains were literally flapping now because they were going so hard. The wind was coming in so strong that it was almost starting to blow him over. And he was tripping on the suckers, and the wind was blowing in. The curtains were flapping in the wind, and then one curtain ripped away. And it came flying at him, and it caught him in the face. And it covered up his face, and he fell backward onto the ground. And as he lay there with the curtain up over his face, he started to smile. Because he realized with this curtain on his face, he could now see things that he never saw before. He didn't even have to open his eyes. He could actually start seeing things happening, like as if he was watching TV. He would just kind of shake his head a little bit and squeeze his eyes and relax them. And he could watch old westerns on TV just because he had this curtain on him. And he pulled the curtain off and looked. It was regular, nothing different. But then when he put the curtain back on his face, he could start watching TV again, like the old westerns and the old soap operas and old variety shows and stuff like that. You could watch them. Some of them were in black and white, but that's how it was back then. They didn't have a lot of color movies. Only a few shows were in color. And he was watching an old show. It was a funny show of Red Skelton. That was his name. He was a comedian. And he was watching this. And he was laughing. He thought it was so funny. He was just laughing up a storm. And all of a sudden, whoosh, they pull the curtain away. They pull the curtain away and he was back into reality. He says, what happened? What happened? And the drain was draining right next to him. The drain was draining and he found himself, he could hardly stand up. He was starting to spin around the drain and he was going to be going down the drain in just a couple of minutes. And he had to get out of there before he went down the drain. And what was he going to do? On his second time around, he noticed a metal ladder going up. It was actually welded right to the sides. It was all like a metal room. And it was like this water going round and round and round. And he was going to be sucked into this middle of this spinning water and be going right down the tubes. But he latched onto this ladder and he started to climb up. And as he climbed up to the very top, there was a man standing there. And when he looked up, their eyes met. And I swear, his eyes looked like they were glowing. Glowing. Glowing in the dark. Pulsating. Glowing in the dark. And he had black shoes, black pants, and a black shirt. And his eyes, as he looked down at him, were glowing in the dark. They were glowing so much. Light was emitting from his eyes. Light was actually lighting up in front of him. He could see all around him just from the man's eyes. Who was this person with the glowing eyes? What could he see with those type of eyes? And why were they glowing? What were they made out of? He had every possible thought in his head, and he had no idea. And when his hand went against the railing, it bumped against the back of his pants, and he realized that his wallet was missing. Where's his wallet? Here, this guy's eyes are glowing and his wallet's missing. And he's got to find his wallet. He's got to find his wallet. Well, with the help of his eyes glowing, he started to look around. It wasn't extremely bright, but it was bright enough to see. And as he was looking around, he could see a chair, he could see a bed, he could see a lamp. He could see a rug, and there it was. His wallet was on the floor. Oh, he was so relieved. He reached over and he picked it up, and as soon as he picked it up, he noticed the bottom of it was all wet. Totally wet. Why would it be wet? He looked down at the floor, and it was getting soggy. The floor was soggy and spongy. The floor was soggy and spongy, and he was looking for the entryway, and he could barely see, but the man turned to the left, and that's when he saw it. It was a doorway that was a circle. A circle. It was like a trap door. It was like those kind of doors that they have on like submarines. And he walked over to it, hard as he could. He lifted one foot up and dropped it down and lifted the next foot up and dropped it down and pulled his next foot up and dropped it left, right, all the way up over to the round door. And when he got to the round door, there was no handle. How do you open up a door without a handle? He thought of everything he could do. He saw a stick on the floor and he picked it up. Yeah, the floor was so mushy. But he picked up the stick and he tried to pry it open. Nothing. And then he went over to the small little table, and the man walked closer to him, and he was putting chills up his arms and back because he was so afraid. But that was the only way he could see. And when he blinked, everything went black. And then when he opened up his eyes again, he could see again. And so he went over to this little table and blinked. Oh, where is it? There it is. And he opened up his eyes and he opened up the top drawer. And he looked inside, nothing. There was another drawer, so he shut the top drawer, and he opened up the next drawer. and there was a small screwdriver, about as long as his hand. "Maybe this will work," he said. "Maybe this will work." And he walked over to the door, and he started to pry it open. And as soon as he pried it open, the screwdriver bent all the way back. It bent so far back that it actually was just like a piece of spaghetti. It bent, and then he tried to bend it back, and he bent it back, and pretty soon now he had two pieces. Two pieces of the screwdriver. It was doing absolutely no good whatsoever. So he had to do three things. He had to get on his cell phone and call for help, or he had to get on a regular telephone and call for help, or he could use the walkie-talkie that was sitting over there on the radio, or by the radio set, and he could go get somebody that way by getting on the walkie-talkie. Well, he didn't know what to do. He was totally confused. So he decided to do one thing and one thing only, and that, of course, was to holler. And the ink, as soon as he started hollering, the ink started to fall, drip from the ceiling, and it was hitting him in little spots left and right, and he'd look at his hands, and a plop, plop of ink right on his hand, and as soon as he would look down, he'd see plop, plop all around him. The ink was dropping everywhere, thick, too. It was thick ink, like the type of ink that you find in an ink pen. It's really thick. Oh, my gosh. And so it was falling everywhere, and it was turning all blue on everything, and some ink was black. It was like black and blue. And he had to get this cleaned off immediately. He had to do something and get it cleaned off. What was he going to do? He had no choice. He had to get in his car and go home. He had to get in his car, but where was it? Where was it, and how was he going to get there? So he started to walk backward. And he walked backward for a couple of feet, and he bonked into something, and he turned a little bit to the left or the right, and he started walking backward again, and pretty soon he found himself on a stairwell, some kind of a stairwell going down the stairs. And he took step two, step three, going down, and then he got to a landing. And then he got to another little doorway, and there were stairs going up. So he turned around and started to walk up the stairs, one step at a time. And pretty soon it got to ground level again, and he got really, really tired as he got to the very, very top. He was all out of breath and tired, and he had to rest. He had to rest. He was so tired, he just had to rest. Well, by the time he put his arm down on the railing, and he put his head down on his arm, he was already starting to fall asleep. He was so tired from the whole day of all the activity and all the excitement. He was just already just completely tired. He was already completely tired. And he yawned, and he dropped to his knees. He said, "Oh, I can't stay awake anymore. I just can't." And he laid right flat down on the ground up against the railing, and he bumped his head up against the railing, and he thought to himself, "I gotta get to sleep. I've gotta get to sleep. I need some sleep." And his eyes started to close, and he just started to relax, and his arms fell down, and his chest relaxed, and his legs went loose, and his feet just dropped where they were, and his arms fell to his side, and he just rested. His eyebrows relaxed, his cheeks relaxed, and he just fell asleep, completely asleep. He just let himself go loose, completely relaxed, and he was happy now. Now he was happy. Finally, he could rest, complete rest, and he laid there, smiling, and falling asleep, and he just took his deep breath, and fell asleep, soft, wonderful sleep, soft sleep, relax, sleep, perfect, just relax and sleep. Slash.